The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Kevin from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, I'm Tammy. I'm from Tennessee, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, I'm Marcy Holland, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, I'm Chitali from Maryland, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is Anita from Virginia, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 526 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and never you worry, he's here. Mike is here. I'm just giving him a little rest today. So I would like to welcome to the show my one and only co-host for this podcast, Michael Scopa. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you for having me on the show, Michelle.
So, as you know, Chris is on probation once again. We just can't keep him out of trouble.
Yeah, something about a Tootsie Roll and a light bulb. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Maybe we will. After he goes through the hearing, we'll see if we can have him back on again sometime soon.
That's right.
Do you have a tip for us?
A tip. Yes. During the holiday season, a lot of people wonder what it's like to be in either Disneyland or Walt Disney World. And I can tell you that if you've never been down to either one around Christmas time, when you do go, it's very much like being there for the very first time. However, I'm sure that a lot of people hear about crowds. So my suggestion, my tip is that if you want to see what it's like in either Disneyland or Walt Disney World around Christmas time, the best time to go is the second or third week in December, because those are the weeks where people are really scrambling around and they are doing their Christmas shopping, and it's pretty empty in both places. I would not go the first weekend because there's a lot of activity going on down in Disney World, I know, Walt Disney World, during the first weekend in December. So second weekend or third weekend in December, especially the week before Christmas. That's my tip for the upcoming holiday season.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. So before we introduce our guests, I'd like to give a shout out. And that is to all the folks. We know so many people who ran the Chicago Marathon this weekend. So we would like to congratulate them. And I hear it's a really fun experience. I haven't done it, but congratulations to you, Chicago folks. All right, so we have special guests on the show. They are, I think, probably the only people we've ever had on from this particular state. I've never been there, but I hear it's amazing. And they are Amy and Jason Chase, who are Mickey Milers, and they come from the great state of South Dakota. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
What is South Dakota? Massachusetts is the Bay State, New Hampshire is the Granite State. Is it the Mount Rushmore state? Is it really? Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Well, we are delighted that you are on the show. And the reason we asked you on the show, other than you both being very cool people, is to report to us your recent experience at the Run Disney Paris half marathon and race weekend. And we thought it would be interesting for you to come on and just kind of tell us what happened and what you did and what you liked and what you didn't like and all that. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay. So my first question to you is, was this your first, I know it wasn't your first Run Disney experience, was it your first Paris experience?
Yes.
Okay. Run Disney Paris. And what made you want to do it?
Well, I've been dreaming of going to Paris since I was very young. So going to Paris itself was a dream come true for me. I studied French for 6 years in high school and college. And this just opened that door for us to go. And then when we heard the reports of last year's races, that just cemented it for us, and we just decided to make it work. And then we got amazing airfare that just everything started to fall into place for us as well. So all the cards kind of lined up for us, and we were able to go.
Very cool.
So my first question is, I don't want to get ahead of the game. So I think what I'll do is I'll try to be very chronological, I guess, in my questioning. So when first question, guys, is Amy and Jason, how far in advance of the actual races did you arrive in Paris?
We arrived in Paris about a week before the races.
Oh, good idea. Did that help you with the jet lag, I think, probably?
Well, it probably helped a little bit, and we wanted to see the city before we went into Disneyland. So that gave us, we had 5 days in the city before heading to Disneyland.
Cool. And did you stay at a Disneyland Paris resort?
We did. We stayed at the
Newport Bay
Hotel, which had been just newly renovated. So we'd heard really good reviews on that one, and that turned out to be a good choice for us. It was not in theme or feeling a lot different from the beach club.
Oh, interesting.
But it was a good fit for us.
So let's see. First things first, how was it picking up your bib over there? And could you compare it with either Disneyland or Walt Disney World?
And remember that most of us haven't done it. So tell us where it happened, when you did it, and stuff like that. That would be helpful.
So there was an expo building very close to our hotel where they had the bib pickup. And one of the first experiences after the expo starting late was it was in a huge non-air conditioned building, and it was sweltering.
Very European. Okay. So it's the expo started at later than advertised?
Yeah, it was about 30 minutes late. There was a crazy line. Really, so that building was just kind of on the edge of Disney Village, which is your downtown Disney Springs type of area. There was a huge line that snaked all through Disney Village waiting to get into the expo. And we just thought at first, wow, everybody showed up at the same time they can't all fit in the building. We soon realized, no, they just hadn't started yet. So it was supposed to start at 3. They finally opened the doors about 3:30 with no explanation along the way as to why it had started late. So there was a lot of confusion kind of going into the start of the expo.
So did you get a sense in line? Was it a lot of Americans? Was it, people from all over the world? I'm just wondering, was it the expectation that the expo would open on time because it was Americans who had done other Run Disney events, or any sense of that?
That's a good call out. The people around us were Americans, and I suppose that the urgency to line up at an expo for folks from the U.S. does kind of fall in with expectations around merchandise and things like that. So maybe that's it. We only talked to the people that were right near us, but they were Americans, so that could be the case.
One of the things that I remember from last year, and I was curious to ask you guys this, did it feel like it was Run Disney, or did it feel like it was something other than Run Disney who was running the show over there?
This was not Run Disney at all. It wasn't even like a local race from an organizational standpoint. It was sort of like if, well, gosh, I feel like I could run a race better than these people, which is probably overstating it. And I don't want to oversimplify the work that needs to be done to run an event like that, but it did not feel like Run Disney at all.
Amy, can you give us some details as to why?
We will as we get into the specifics of the races, but I think just in general, the level of communication, both before we ever got there and then throughout the course of the weekend, was just really limited. There was a lot of weird things that happened. And just, it just didn't feel Disney. And I think if we talk about the parks at all, we'll have that same feeling, that just what you feel when you feel something is Disney, safety, comfort, friendliness, it just wasn't that. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think you gave a good overview of that.
So interesting, because I had mentioned on our Facebook page that I'd been contacted by Run. Well, I contacted them like a year ago to try to get them to come on the show. And then they contacted me again. It fell through for last year. They contacted me and they kept on setting up times for us to have a Skype call. And then they kept on backing out of it. So, but I got the impression that there was a company that was affiliated with Run Disney, but not Run Disney. So it's interesting to hear you say that. I'd be really interested in how you, once you got in, how you would describe the expo in terms of, you know, a Disneyland or a Walt Disney World expo has vendors, you know, the packet pickup, the stuff like that. How would you, kind of going through all those different things that we remember about a Run Disney event locally, you know, locally meaning California or Florida, how would you compare?
So from a, you know, vendor and merchandise perspective, it was considerably smaller than what you're used to at Disney World and Disneyland. You know, typically you're so used to everyone wants merchandise, it goes quick. And after the race, there was still quite a bit of merchandise left over that was, you know, on sale for half off. And just a handful of vendors there.
Really limited merchandise. And in fact, we had been in Paris long enough that the temperatures dropped from the forecast that we'd had when we left. And we were so limited on space, I didn't bring as many layers of clothing as I normally would to run. So I needed something long-sleeved. And I was just assuming that I could buy that at the expo, and I really struggled to find something because there just weren't very many options.
Hmm. So were the companies European companies, or did you see any American companies?
Besides the Run Disney merchandise, there were only two vendors that had a few clothing items at all, and they weren't names that I recognized.
Wow. Hmm. And how was the packet pickup and the shirt distribution and everything like that?
It was a little bit of a mess. The packet pickup, there were different sections for each of the races or the challenge, which we did. And it seemed like they didn't do a very good job of distributing the bib numbers in such a way that they had load distribution of the lines. So we were in a crazy long line that kind of snaked around. And there was no lines on the floor or queuing that you would expect from a US Disney event. And then there was other lines just over from where we were with the workers just walking around because there was nobody in their lines. So it just felt like they didn't quite get the balance right to distribute people very well.
I'm guessing that you probably heard other people talking. Were there disgruntled racers? Were people saying like, what the heck's going on here? Or
Well, these people had all been standing out in the sun, and it wasn't extremely hot outside, but it was warm. And then we were in this line in this hot building for quite a while. So people were a little ornery. It was terrible, though.
And the other piece about the packet pickup that I noticed is they are considerably less efficient. You know, when you go to a Run Disney event in the U.S., you get to the front of the line, you know, give them your paperwork and ID, and they're pretty quick getting you, you know, your bibs and everything. Where here, once you got up to the person, you were probably there 3 or 4 minutes while they were, you know, going and grabbing your stuff and checking things off. So that was very surprising how slowly it went.
That was also our first experience, and we'd been there almost a week at that point, that we really had communication struggles. Everywhere that we were in Paris, quite frankly, people looked at us and they would just say, English? Immediately. So as much as we tried to fit in, clearly we did not. But at that expo, for the first time, we had issues with the language.
Michelle, are you on mute?
I am, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just want, did you know if they were volunteers?
I couldn't discern that for sure.
Okay. Okay.
So we got our bibs for the challenge. We went and picked up our shirts, and I looked at them quickly just to see what they looked like, because that's always fun. And immediately I thought, there is no way I can fit in this shirt. And that turned out to be kind of a theme for folks, and I started to see that within the Facebook groups and so on, where European sizing is just different than U.S. sizing. So I think they really had an issue with people trying to exchange shirts, and even we had rope dropped at the expo, essentially, even right away when we went and tried to exchange our challenge shirts, they didn't have any options for us to be able to exchange them. So I think later on in the next couple of days, we started to really hear people say they couldn't exchange a number of their shirts, which was unfortunate. And that's just, I guess.
Well, I mean, you go all the way there. You want to walk away with a shirt that fits. Yeah. Oh, boy. Did you ever get a chance to exchange it at all?
We were able to exchange everything except for the challenge shirt. So we got lucky.
What's interesting is that there were 23% fewer runners for the Disneyland Paris half marathon this year than last year. Last year, there were 8,500. This year, there were only 6,500. And I'm just wondering if that trend is going to continue because of certain things over there. So having said that, Amy and Jason, let me ask you, would you do it again? And if so, why? And if not, why not?
I am glad that we went and did the race. I would say it would be a long time before I would be willing to do another race over there. Really none of it felt Disney to me. You know, the people were not Disney-ish, and it just was not what I expect from Disney.
So how about we dig into a little bit more about what happened on the races too? We kind of have the bottom line now already, but can you tell us about your first race and what your experience was?
Yeah, definitely. So the 5K was Friday, and it was actually 8 p.m. on Friday night. That also ended up starting a little bit late, but was actually kind of nice. So they lined us up in the resort area around a lake. So there was three corrals, and we were all kind of just looped around a really lovely lake area, and we were there around sunset. So it was really pretty and a nice way to wait. And they actually had barges, which kind of reminded me of the Fantasmic barges, with, I guess they were just like dancers kind of hosting, trying to create a little bit of a party atmosphere. So that was fun. And the 5K, there was a lot of people dressed up, which was also really fun. And I noticed, I felt like way more families than we would see at a U.S. race 5K. So that was really fun. And a lot of families that were doing whole family costumes, which was great. Like, I think we saw a whole, like, a Toy Story family. And then on the course, we saw a really cute family all doing Peter Pan costumes. And just, it really did feel more like a family fun run than what some of the U.S. races have started to feel like.
And did you say it started at sunset?
Well, it was after sunset. As we were waiting, lined up in the crowds, we got to see sunset, which was lovely.
Oh, so it's a nighttime 5K.
Yes.
Had
its pluses and minuses.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So there were a couple of stretches of the race that were really behind the scenes of the park, but they had turned off all of the lighting back there. So at this point, there was no sunlight, and you got all of these people running in pitch black.
Oh my goodness, you're kidding.
No, so everyone's got pulling their phones out, turning on their flashlights, trying to see where they're going. We heard there were people that fell because there were things that they couldn't see. And I'm like, this would never happen at Disney in the U.S. There's just too many safety protocol to let something like that happen.
Wow. So how much of the race would you say you were backstage?
Well, it was sort of backstage, but it was like they have still the backstage tour at their studios park. So we were backstage, but we were fun backstage. You know, it was sort of like props and scenes set up, and it's part of where their backstage tram tour goes through. So it was sort of like on stage, off stage, I think is the way I would describe it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So thinking about how the time of the day that this race started, did you find it more enjoyable or less enjoyable?
It was the warmest race start, which was great for me. I'm a little bit of a baby in the cold, even though we live where we live. So I enjoyed that quite a bit. And it's always fun, I think, to run through a lit up park. In the parts that were lit up, it was great. And that was the first time that we'd actually stepped foot into the studios park. And so we really got to kind of see what that looked like, and we really enjoyed that. The biggest downfall was that race was at 8 p.m. The 10K was at 7 a.m. the next day.
I was wondering.
Which, we love a 7 a.m. race start. That's really great. But it did get tight by the time we were wrapped up for the evening and getting ready to get up in the next day.
How far a walk was it back to your hotel?
Oh, not bad. 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So not bad at all. There was actually an after party that night as well that went until midnight. I have a lot of respect for the people that can do that. That's just not how we're built. So,
you know, the French, they can do the parties. That's funny. So can you tell us about the entertainment on the course for the 5K?
Well, that's a hard question. there was great character interactions throughout all of three of the races, but I think at this point they're kind of jumbled a little bit in my head as to what happened at which races. But in general, throughout the races, I think it was the best character options, backdrops, that we've ever had in any Disney races. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah. The character stops were definitely great. The one downfall is a lot of them, they ended up closing. due to, I don't know if it was the line was too long. So there were several, you know, great picture stops that you just didn't get the opportunity to go to because they closed it.
And we're not fast, but we're not that slow. And there were certainly people behind us in each of the cases. So that was a bit of a bummer, but there were some really cool and unique character stops. And oftentimes multiple characters. So the three little pigs, all three of them there, the three caballeros, and some other just kind of obscure and unique characters. I'm trying to think, I'm flipping through some pictures really quickly. Judy Hopps from Zootopia. Merlin and the Fairy Godmother. We've met Fairy Godmother before, but I've never seen Merlin out anywhere. We met Sadness. We just missed Joyce. We were a little bummed about that, but Sadness was fun too. Just some really neat character interactions. So that was great. The downside was the photo pass photographers were not the best at really capturing kind of the spirit of the interaction. And while they did keep people moving, they really rushed you along.
Were they photo pass? Like Disney photo pass?
They were labeled as that.
Okay.
And the one thing that I would have loved to have a picture of, when we met Beauty and the Beast, we were dressed up as Belle and Gaston. So, you know, when Beast saw me, we had a full out boxing match, and, you know, no photos of that whatsoever. The photographer was just kind of standing there like, okay, get done with this. I want to take your picture.
Aw, too bad.
We're only halfway through with our discussion with Amy and Jason Chase regarding the 2017 Disneyland Paris Half Marathon Race Weekend. Please tune in to the next episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast, and we'll talk about the 10K and about the half and a few other things that they experienced while over there in Paris. So, for Amy and Jason Chase and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.